Welcome to Empower Church. Thank you for joining us today. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with a message of hope. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
What if there's a group of people this evening that, instead of just saying, God, pour out for your revival, can by faith say, God, thank you for your revival. Come on, is there somebody here tonight that wants to believe with me that God is already busy doing something? It's in our nature to continuously ask God for greater things, and that's how it should be. But I believe that God is busy doing something incredible in our lives. He's busy doing something incredible in churches. He's busy doing something awesome in this church. Tonight is a testimony of that. And I want us to shift our faith from a place of saying, God, pour it out, to say, God, I thank you for what you have started to pour out already. Not just on this church, but on my life. Come on, can you by faith thank God for revival in your life tonight? So Jesus, we come to you tonight as Empowered Church from around the nation and around the world, God, and we thank you in this evening for your Spirit poured out on our lives. Thank you for revival. Thank you for the loss that we see come home week after week. Thank you, Lord, that we can in this evening say thank you for sick bodies that we're seeing healed. Thank you, Lord, that we see cancer fleeing. Thank you that we're seeing it, Lord. We're believing it, not just by faith, but we're seeing it with our eyes. We're seeing how people are restored and made whole, brought back to life. Father, thank you for revival. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives, in this church, in churches around this nation. Lord, in this evening, we want you to know, Lord, that we welcome what you want to do. We welcome what you want to do in our lives. Come on, take a moment, maybe there where you are, and just say, God, I welcome you to do what you want to do in my life. That's all that God needs to pour out revival. It's just somebody that's willing to say, God, have your way. Have your way. Jesus, in this night, it's our prayer that even in this night, as we open your word together, as we see people following you through the waters of baptism, let everything that happens in this night be an invitation from our hearts to say, God, come and have your way. Pour out yourself in a greater measure upon our lives in this night. And if that's your prayer, come on, won't you say amen with me tonight? Come on, let's say amen again. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. While you're taking your seats, can we just bless our worship team as well? Give them a God bless you for being awesome. So good to have you with us. Before I even start speaking about anything, I just want everybody that's going to be baptized, that's going to get baptized tonight, I want everybody that's going to be following Jesus through the waters of baptism to just stand for a moment quickly. Will you do that? Oh, come on, look at this, Empowered Church. Online friends from around the nation and around the world, I wish you could see this, how many people are standing. If I got it correct, we're baptizing about 70 people tonight. And I just want to say, on behalf of everybody here at Empowered Church, we commend you, we bless you, we honor you for taking a step of obedience tonight. God bless you. Come on, let's give them a round of praise tonight. Can we do that? You're welcome to be seated. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Welcome to our baptism celebration service. Tonight's going to be an awesome night. Do you believe that? There's about 14 of you. Do you believe that tonight's going to be an incredible evening? I want to try and keep what I believe the Lord wants me to share as short as possible, because I want us to really go and just enjoy seeing people following Jesus through the waters of baptism. Best funeral you'll ever attend. It's to see people lay down themselves so that they can live with Christ. It's a celebration. It's going to be awesome. So looking forward to experiencing that with all of you. I've got this random question that I want to ask you tonight. I'm not sure if it will make sense when I ask it, but you'll see where this goes. If you had to evaluate your life you had to look at everything that you own, what would you say is your most valuable possession? And I'm not talking about spiritual matters now. I'm talking about the stuff that you can see and touch. Is it your leather jacket? Is it your most expensive watch? Is it that nice pair of shoes you got last weekend? Is it your car? What is it that you own that you would say is your most valuable possession? I thought of asking you this question this way, but I don't want to lean towards a negative impact. But if your house had to burn down, and thank God that nobody's house will burn down, what would be the thing that you grab before you run out? What would be that thing? Some of you would be like, Pastor Eric, I'm not just grabbing one thing, I'm grabbing at least 10 things out of my house. But what would be that thing that you grab before you run? I had my own thoughts around this question, and I asked Google as well, what's sort of like the poll? What would people grab before they run? And interesting enough, exactly what I thought would be the answer. Most people said that they would grab their photographs. Interesting. I'm sure some of you said my laptop, definitely coming with me. My wallet, I need that. Well, nowadays, most of us, we keep our photos on our laptops and our phones, but most people said that they would grab photos, whether it's on a hard drive or something from a wall, because there's something that's found in a picture that you will never get back again. Come on, do everybody agree with me tonight? There's something that's found in a picture that you will never regain again. What is it that makes a picture, a photograph, so valuable? I believe two things. I believe there's more than two, but I want to suggest to you there's two things that makes a photograph extremely valuable to the one that possesses it. Number one, it captured a moment in your life. Captured a moment. And that photograph gives you the opportunity to regain a memory. The photograph gives you a evidence of a moment, and in that moment is found a memory. Some of you are thinking, we are talking about water baptism tonight. This guy is talking about photographs and pictures. I've got absolutely no idea where this guy is going. I want to share some photographs with you tonight as an introduction to where I believe the Lord wants me to go. And maybe this will make more sense. Musa, are we ready? Can we roll? I don't actually want to say much. Musa, if we can, just roll through these photos. Come on, I want you to have a look at what you see here. You know that saying that says there's a picture that speaks a thousand words. Every one of these pictures speaks a thousand words. I had a look at my own baptism photo as well yesterday. It's a moment I will forever remember. I believe that is what makes water baptism so important in the believer's life. I believe water baptism is like a photograph. I believe it captures a moment in time. And I believe that photograph moment in your life is a memory that God wants you to treasure for the rest of your life. What is the moment that we celebrate there? New life. Baptism in its essence is an outward declaration of an inward decision. Every one of you that will be baptized tonight, in the last couple of days and weeks, somewhere you made a decision to say, I want to follow Jesus through the waters of baptism. And that inward decision is based on your decision to follow Christ. It's this moment in your life that has forever changed your life. I believe one of the most, if not the most significant moment in your life was that moment where you decided to say, I'm going to follow Jesus. And may I just submit to you the following, that sometimes it's not found in the time that you prayed that altar call prayer, but the moment where you really decided, where you made up your mind to say, I'm laying down everything for Jesus. May I submit to you tonight that sometimes we make a response to new life, something that people step into without understanding the depth of what they decide in that moment. I'm not sure if I'm speaking to the right people tonight. Salvation is more than a prayer that you prayed in church. It's more than just a response to come to the altar. It's a decision that you make to say, I lay down my life, I give it to Jesus completely. Everything that I am, I surrender, I give it to Him. Everything I give to Jesus. And that moment, that decision in your heart, that is what we see in water baptism. That's why that joy when people come out of the water, that absolute joy, that celebration of new life can be seen so visible on people's faces. Why? Because it's a decision that has taken place inside of them that is expressed on the outside of them. May we never lead people to a place of decision making without giving them the reason and the depth of the decision they're making. May we never encourage people that there's something like new life without saying to them, there's something like laying down the old to get the new life. Sometimes we lead people into this, and please, I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm just saying sometimes we lead people into this prayer like quickly just accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, and it's like it's going to change your life. It's going to make things better. It doesn't work that way. It's not going to make your life better. You will lose your life as you follow Christ. That's the gospel message. You will lose your life. It's not like God's going to up your life like this revamp that takes place. You will give everything away and therefore gain everything that He has to offer. An outward evidence of an inward decision. That's the moment. And that memory will last you the rest of your life. You will forever, for those of you getting baptized tonight, you will forever think back of that one night at the end of May 2021, where you made a decision to follow Jesus through the waters of baptism. There will be times when the enemy will come and suggest you, but what if the old man is still alive? What if the power of sin can still rule and reign over your life? And in that moment you can say, no, it can't. I've laid that man down. I have buried him under the water with Christ. It's a new creation that's living. The power of sin has lost its power over my life. Will the presence of sin be there? Absolutely. But the power of sin is broken in that decision that you make to say, God, I give you everything. No longer has the enemy got a hold over your life. It's interesting that the Lord Jesus said there's two ordinances that He wants us to keep forever. Number one, communion. Number two, water baptism. And may I just clarify for those of you watching online, for those of you maybe joining Empower Church for the first time as a family member, a friend, very welcome, by the way. We'll greet you again a bit later. But may I just say, baptism is a decision you make. Somebody else can't make that decision for you. That's why we don't believe in infant baptism. Because an infant can't lay down his own life. He can't make the decision to say, I'm laying down the old so I can live with Christ. No, that's two parents making a decision that they're dedicating that child to God. That's why we dedicate babies in this church. We don't baptize babies because babies need to make a decision for themselves. And every single one of you that's following Jesus through the waters of baptism, it's a decision that you made. And that decision, you will see the reward flow out in your life because of the decision you've made. It's a decision that costs you everything, therefore you can gain everything that Christ has made available to you. Sometimes we just see water baptism as this, you know, just it's a sort of this declaration, it's part of a church thing, you know, it's part of the new members course, people do that. No, it's a powerful remembrance, not just of what you have chosen to do tonight, but of what Christ has done. You see, the very two things that Jesus said, this is what I want you to remember continuously and I want you to keep them, communion and water baptism, both of them points to the death, burial and resurrection of Christ. Every time we eat the wafer, drink the juice, it's us saying we remember that His body was broken, His blood was shed so that mine don't have to be. His body was broken so that mine can be whole. Water baptism, same thing. It's me saying, I recognize that Jesus died and He rose again. And I identify myself with Him in death and in life. I think sometimes that's where we have missed the depth of water baptism. It's what it truly means to identify yourself in death and in resurrection. It means the very image of Christ that we see on that cross broken so that I can be whole. That very price that He paid, I'm saying, God, I'm willing to identify with that price. That's why the Bible is full of scriptures that speaks about laying down the old man, dying to self. A seed needs to die before it will grow. There's many scriptures that tell you that God wants you dead. Please don't just clip this out of the sermon tonight and put that on Facebook. Pastor Eric said, God wants you dead. But that's the gospel message. This message has never been there to make you feel good. It's been given so that you can say, God, everything about me is nothing without you. It's when I lay everything down. It's when I surrender myself completely. It's when I die to self that I can live in Christ. And only if I identify with His death, will I identify with His resurrection. I want to read you a scripture. Listen to this. Romans chapter number 6. It'll be on the screen as well. Romans chapter number 6. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Look at your neighbor quickly. Say, neighbor. Some of you haven't even spoken to your neighbor. Poor neighbor. Just say, neighbor. God wants you to walk in the newness of life. Maybe we can invite some online neighbors as well. If you're watching online tonight, YouTube, Facebook, by the way, very welcome to all of you. So good to have you with us. If there's somebody that you know, even if you're sitting in church tonight, if there's somebody that you know that's been going through that tug of war in their own heart around baptism, won't you tag them into the stream? You're welcome to use your phone in church nowadays, by the way. When I grew up, it was a sin to have your phone out in church. Aiden, that laugh made me think that your mom also had an eye on you when you had your phone out. But if there's somebody that you feel like they've been going through this tug of war around baptism and should I get baptized? Shouldn't I get baptized? Is it really important? Is it important for salvation? What about this? What about that? Tag them into the stream. Tag somebody. Say, hey, newness of life. Newness of life. Newness of life. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Come on, how powerful is that? Through the decision you make to follow Jesus through the waters of baptism, the decision you make to follow Christ, not just through the waters of baptism, but the decision you've made to say, God, I give you my life. In that decision, God promised you that with you dies the power of sin, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. So you also might consider yourself dead to sin and alive to Christ Jesus. As I look back on my journey with the Lord, and I look for those moments in my life where I have experienced the elevation of God, where God has brought me from one place to another, taken me from strength to strength, grace to grace, glory to glory. Every one of those moments has not been moments where I attended a super conference. It's not been a moment where I read some incredible book. It's been moments in my life where I made a decision to sacrifice more than I was willing to sacrifice in the season before. If you're finding yourself in your life currently at a place of stagnation where it feels like you've just reached this place and it feels like you're struggling to move forward with God, ask yourself, what is that thing that he wants from you? What is the sacrifice that God wants for you? Some of you are thinking, Jesus, this is a hard message tonight. This Oki's talking about dying to self and God wants my life and sacrifice. But can I be honest with you? It's impossible for us to live in the fullness of life without embracing the beauty of death. Jesus went to the cross. He wasn't forced there. He went there willingly because he knew in that death he would gain life, not just for one, but for all. And if I can have that same approach in my life to say, Jesus, I am willing to walk towards the places in my life where you want me to lay down, where I need to sacrifice, where I need to die to self. It's in those places where you will encounter the life-giving power of Christ in your life. Life is found in those moments. Acts chapter number 2. Peter preaches this message. The Spirit of God was just poured out upon them. Day of Pentecost, incredible move of God taking place. Thousands of people gathered around the disciples, free translation. And Peter tells them about Jesus. He gives them the good news. And after he has shared with them the beauty of Jesus and his sacrifice, the people ask him, what are we supposed to do? Have you ever read that in your Bible? They ask Peter, Peter, What are we supposed to do now? What is the next step for us? Can I be honest with you? I think many people in the world out there, that's the kind of question they've got in their hearts currently. God, what do you want for me? What's the next step for me? God, how do I break out into something greater, into something deeper, into something new? How do I break through? And Peter said to them, it's easy. Free translation. You've got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized. And on that day, more than 3,000 people gave their lives to Christ and were baptized. It's incredible how in some churches we have these programs where we teach people about baptism for like days or weeks to try and convince people it's the right thing to do. And then at the end of some four-week program, we say, okay, now for those of you that want to be baptized, you know, consider it. It's unscriptural. Every time I read about baptism, we could just take the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 2 with the disciples, be saved, get baptized. Paul, that was Saul, when he got saved, Ananias said to him, rise and get baptized. Every time the disciples encountered, even the unbelievers in that time, the very first thing they commanded them to do was baptize. The jailer, as Paul and Silas were set free from prison, him and his whole household got saved. In the middle of the night, he got baptized. Every time in scripture we see baptism, we see it's something that God commands you to do now. Let it be the first response of obedience. And we've got so many people say, yeah, but it's not necessary for salvation. True. Because the guy on the cross next to Jesus said to him, you will be with me today. He wasn't baptized. So it's not necessary for salvation. But why do we negotiate with God the very first step of obedience? It's like looking to find the spot where we can just groove through into heaven without paying the price that our master paid. And what we're doing tonight, and forgive me if I'm a bit serious, some of you, luckily I can't see all of your faces because you might think, yes, this is heavy tonight. But I can't preach a baptism message to about 70 people that's going to follow Jesus through the waters of baptism and just say to you, listen, when you do this tonight, everything's going to be great. We're going to give you a high five. People are going to shout and scream, and they will, by the way. But then it's just like, okay, there you go. You've got to understand what you do tonight. You've got to understand that you say, Lord, I want to identify with you. I give you my life. I lay everything down tonight. And God, I position myself so that I can have everything from you. Everything that you have to offer, Jesus, I want that. And I'm not talking about physical things. I'm talking about what he has, life. He's got life abundantly, John 10. He says, I want to give it to you, but I can't give it to you if you don't lay yourself down first. And the more you lay yourself down, the more Jesus will give you. The more you lay yourself down, the more he'll give you in every area of your life. Anybody that sits here that's blessed financially will know the more they started to give, the more God gives. Come on, am I speaking to the right people? The more you sow, the more God gives. What is that? It's sacrifice. It's giving. The more time you sow into people, the more God sows back into you. The more you sacrifice in prayer, the more you receive from God in prayer. May we not twist the gospel message into a message that suits us. May baptism celebrations not be about the sound, the music, the lights, and people celebrating, but the fact that we can all stand here as a church tonight and say, we commend every one of you 70 people that's made a decision to die tonight. That's what we've got to celebrate. That's what the church needs to stand for in this time. World will not follow a church that's looking for a gray line in between black and white. They want a church that can stand for the truth, for what is right. And we've got to make a stand. But we cannot stand as a church if there's not individuals in this church that's saying, I will give my life for the cause of the King. I will give my life for Christ. If you're seated here or you're watching online and you've not been baptized, I want to say to you tonight with the greatest love and humility and respect, stop being disobedient. Follow Jesus through the waters of baptism. If Jesus did it, why wouldn't you do it? That's normally how I teach water baptism at our new members class. Jesus did it, I'll do it. Finish class, right? Who wants to get baptized? If my King did it, I want to do it. We negotiate the terms of our own gospel. Forgive me for being heavy tonight, but I just sense such a seriousness from God to say, if we cannot even lay our lives down, what do we want to gain from Christ? What will I gain? But we've got everything to gain. Because the longer I live my life, the more I realize that whatever I do in my strength fails. There's no fruit in it. There's no life in it. There's no joy in it. There might be moments of joy and pleasure, but at the end of the day, I feel empty, I feel dry. It's only God that satisfies. It's only Him. That's why the disciples, right through the book of Acts, we see it time after time, they cried out, they said, please, what shall we do? The Ethiopian eunuch, he said, where's water? Can we just, please? I mean, he was saved for probably like an hour. He said, can we stop the chariot, just look for water? He was in the desert. He was like, I don't care where you baptize me, but I want to follow Jesus through the waters of baptism. I've got the privilege tomorrow to go to a lady's house that's on machines and pipes. Can't even get to church. And she said, I'm buying stickers and plasters. I'll stick myself and pluck what I need to do. But I want you to come and baptize me in my house. And then I hear people saying, oh, Pastor, I don't like getting wet. That doesn't matter. The water's cold. Doesn't matter. I saw pictures the other night. I think I was sitting with my wife on bed the other night looking through baptism pictures of people getting baptized in other nations. There's people in Russia that walk into the snow. They climb into icy rivers and get baptized there. We've got a pool that's heated. We've got everything. There's cloakrooms and towels. And we say, no, it's not comfortable. It's a bit, you know, in front of people, my hair. I want to make an invitation to everybody watching online. You in service, you've got a pool to go to tonight. If you're online and you say, Eric, I want to be baptized, put your name there. Say, this is me. I want to get baptized. Even if we fly down, we organize with some dominie or pastor in your town to get you. Even if you ask your wife to baptize you and you baptize your wife, it doesn't matter. But follow Jesus through the waters of baptism. Follow Him. Follow Him. Got a video clip from a friend of mine the other day. They were in Angola fishing. They're in the middle of the desert on their way to the coast. There's no water, there's nothing. There's just a basin where you wash your dishes, a kombase zinc. And the guy is standing there with his head in the basin and they're throwing him full of water. That's all they can do. They just wet him, they wet him, and they baptize him until his whole body was wet. Crying, saying, God, talking about a guy that had a radical encounter. And can I be honest with you? That is why baptism has become optional. Because the salvations of men and women have not been radical anymore. We pray these silent prayers and just slip up our hand. But don't slip up your hand. Stand and be counted for. Say, this is me. This is my day. I give my life to Christ. If you give your life to Him silently, you will live your life silently. Make a declaration for what is true, for what you believe, for what you stand for. He died on that cross. He was naked. He was on that cross alone, but He gave it everything to me and you. That's the life that God wants us to live. We cannot live these in between. I'm trying just try and be as comfortable as what I can to get to heaven. That's not the gospel. It's not the gospel. There's a world out there that's dying, absolutely in need of a Savior. Jesus Himself said, Matthew 28, go into all the world. What did He say next? Baptize people. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why have we negotiated the Great Commission to something that suits us? And I feel like I'm preaching to the choir, 70 people that's made the decision. I'm screaming at you, forgive me. But may I encourage every single one of us that we've got to run into this world and give this message to people. We can't be afraid to tell people, hey, if you don't give your life to Christ, you will lose your life. Rather lose it in giving it to Him so that you can gain everything than lose it and lose everything. I salute every single one of you that have made a decision to follow Jesus through the waters of baptism. But I charge you in this night, do not go silent into the night. Don't let it be a celebration tonight. Get your photo a bit later, put it on a wall somewhere, and then just live your life the way you've lived it up until this evening. No, let tonight be a defining moment in your life where you say, God, I give you everything. When I go into that waters, it's the death, burial, and resurrection. There's something that you've got to bury in that water. Some of you have been baptized. I'm asking you tonight, what is it in your life that God wants you to bury? You can say, Eric, I've been baptized 15 years ago. Praise God for that. But what is it in your life that's still alive that needs to be dead? Bury that tonight. I'm not saying go through the waters of baptism again. I'm saying bury that. Make a decision tonight to say, God, that habit, that sin, that mindset, that attitude in my heart, that unforgiveness, whatever it is, bury it. Kill it before it kills you. You've got the power to do it. You see, it's your decision that takes you into the water. It's Christ that empowers you out of the water. Don't ask God to do something for you that He's looking to you to do. You go into the water, you bury that, you lay it down, and you will see how God empowers you to live a life that you've never imagined possible to live. A life of power, a life of breakthrough, a life of victory. Yes, that is the abundant life that God promises you, but it comes at the cost of your own. Are you willing to lay down every dream, every desire, if it's not God's dream or desire for your life? If God doesn't want you to be in that relationship, are you willing to sacrifice that relationship? But please, I'm not speaking about married people now. Don't sacrifice your wife and say, no, the pastor said, if I need to, I must. But some of you might find yourself in a relationship with somebody, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, somebody, and you know that's not God's desire. Bury it. Bury it. And you'll see how God positions you to inherit His promise for your life. I remember when I got baptized 2005. I came out of a place, I got radically saved. And I want to say it because I would do injustice if I say it any other way. God shook my life in one Friday night at a campsite outside of Pretoria. God shook my life. I laid on that carpet with snot and tears running down my face. Nothing pretty to look at, I can promise you that. But in that night, I cried out to God. I said, Jesus, I give you everything. Everything, everything, everything. That decision cost me. I went through a time where I had to break free of strongholds and addictions. But I knew I couldn't negotiate. God, maybe I can just do this for a little while longer, or just keep on drinking this or smoking that or whatever that. No, I knew I needed to break with everything in my life that's stealing the glory of God from me. I knew I had to. And I said, God, give me the strength, empower me to do it. And He did. But it's a decision that we make. I followed Jesus through the waters of baptism. I got baptized in that pool, August 2005. It was the most defining moment of my life. You can ask my wife, I've said this 100 times, I'll say it again. I couldn't stop smiling for a month, no joke. I smiled in my sleep. True story, I promise you. The joy of the Lord filled my life. It's like, the best way to describe it is like God occupied me. He filled me from the head, tip of my head to the tip of my toe. It's like God just exploded inside of me. Every time I see photos like that where people come out of the water and it's like they look like a bomb exploding in that water, I know what it feels like. I've been there. And I can tell you, looking back on my life, I think to myself, why before that moment will I ever have thought, but God, if I give you this, God, yeah, I like this. Just give it all away. You'll see it. It's like little pebbles in relation to the pearls that He will give you. Whatever you sit here tonight feeling like, I don't know if I can bury that. I don't know if I can sacrifice it. Just see what God will do in your life if you take that step of obedience. Just give it all away. Jesus said, if you give it all away, you'll gain everything. It's as simple as that. I said, I wanted to preach long. Now I'm screaming for like the last 15 minutes. Forgive me. But I want to close in saying this. I drove tonight to church thinking about the picture that God gave me of baptism being like a picture, like a snapshot of your of this moment in your life. Something that you can truly hang on a wall because it signifies a memory, a moment that becomes a memory that will last you the rest of your life. And as I drove to church, you know what I had a thought about? I ask you the question, what's the most important thing in your house? You know what's the most important thing in God's house? It's when people make a decision to give themselves away to Him. It's not the signs and the wonders and the miracles and people falling and it's not that. It's when a life changes forever. The Bible says that is what God rejoices in. That's when the angels celebrate. It's when people make that decision to say, I give myself away. God, I am yours. And that's the only thing we will take from this place. That's the only thing that we will take with us. It's the souls of men and women. I charge you tonight, believer, to go into this week and give people the gospel message. There's people that's been working with you for years. You've got to go to that people in this week and say, my brother, I love you so much. I don't want to offend you. Please don't be angry with me. But I've got to say to you tonight, you need Jesus. You need your life to change around. God wants the best for you, but you're on a highway of destruction. Turn around. Give your life away. We've got to charge people with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, what are we assembling for? Just to come and have a worship experience and have some crazy oak spit and scream at us for 15, 20 minutes. It's not why we're here. That's not the gospel mandate for the church. The mandate is go into this world, make disciples, baptize them. As you go, I will go with you. Signs will follow you. Yes, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the mute will speak. Yes, that will happen. But you've got to go into this world and give them the good news first. What does God confirm? His word. The message of the gospel. You know what, Moose, can we have some of those pictures? Just one or two of those baptism pictures. Just give me the next one. Let's stand still there. No, let's go. Let's make this personal. Next one. Next one. Next one. Next one. Next one. Next one. Yes. Yes, it's this man. That picture. Listen, he's cheering himself. That's great. I wanted to say you can cheer him now, but just listen to this. That picture. That, and I'm not talking about him now. That picture. That's what the world wants to see. That's the way. That's the way the church should look like right now. When the world looks at the church, that's the image that they must see. A church in absolute power, in absolute victory, but in absolute surrender. Absolute surrender. That's the picture. That's the picture. That's the picture. And I charge you in this night as you go into your week, that you will go into your week like this. In absolute surrender, but in power. If there's people in this place tonight that say, Eric, yes, you've screamed at me, and I don't even care if you like the preaching style or not, that's fine. But if you are here tonight and God has been speaking to you about your life, I don't want to pray a silent prayer tonight. I want to ask you tonight, if you are here and you say, Eric, something in my life that needs to change. I want you to stand right now. Right now. I don't care if there's one or 50 people in this place tonight, but if you need to change your life around, I want you to stand right now. Yes. 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 I call on you in this night. As you have stood now for this invitation, that you'll, no, please remain standing. Please remain standing. Please remain standing. That you would live your life with the same boldness. Don't shy away into the night. Don't become a submarine Christian. Even if you have to phone somebody tonight, if you're here alone, or tell your friend next to you, listen, tonight I made a decision. I will never be the same. Watch me. Phone somebody, say, hey, I made the most important decision of my life. I gave it to Jesus. Do it. Be bold about your faith. Remain standing. I want to pray for every single one of you. Friends, if you're standing around them, I want you to stretch out a hand to them. Stretch out a hand to them. Pastor Serena, maybe while I'm praying, you can just hand out some cards to these people, some of our leaders, if you can help. We just want to give you the opportunity to give your details to us, because we don't believe that anybody should journey alone in this church. But I want to pray for every single one of you standing tonight and commend you for making a decision that will forever change your life. Father, I pray and I thank you in this evening for every single person standing. Lord, I see so many. And I know that in heaven, the angels are rejoicing for the souls of men and women that have moved from darkness to light, death to life in this night. If you're standing here tonight, whether this is your first time commitment to Jesus, and if you're online and you're saying, Eric, that's me, all you need to do is just type, that's me. We want to contact you as well. Say, I'm praying that prayer. I'm giving my life. Doesn't matter if it's a first time commitment or a rededication. I want you to pray this prayer, and I want you to pray it loud tonight. Say, Jesus, I need you. Say it again. Say it with me. Say, Jesus, I need you. Write my name in the book of life. I give you my life. Everything about me. Holy Spirit, make your home in me. Live in me. Lead me. Guide me. Fill me. In Jesus' name. Now I want you to say this with me. Thank you, Father, that according to John 1:12, I can boldly call myself a child of God. Come on, let's give Jesus some praise tonight. Yes, man. Bless you. Thank you. You're welcome to be seated. I want to make a second call before I pray for everybody, and then I'm going to wrap up and hand over to Pastor Stefan. If you are here tonight, maybe you've come to watch a family member or a friend getting baptized, and you know that this is a step that you must take as well. I want to ask you, do not delay any further. Tonight is the night. We've got enough baptism attire and towels to assist you. But if you want to get baptized tonight, directly after we have gathered here, as we go into the minor, you just look for me, Pastor Stefan, my wife, Pastor Cornei, or Pastor Serena, and say, hey, I want to get baptized tonight, and we will help you. If you're watching online and you say, I want to get baptized, give us your details. There will be some of our staff that will catch your details, and we will make sure, doesn't matter where you live, but that you will have the opportunity to follow Jesus through the waters of baptism as well. I want you to stand with me, everybody. Won't you do that? I want to pray for you. And tonight I want to pray that there will be a boldness that comes upon us again. A boldness for our faith. A boldness for what we believe. That we in this hour, and can I be honest with you, it is extremely easy in this hour to become shy about your faith. And it will become even easier. That's why we gather. That's why the writer of Hebrews chapter number 10 verse 25 says, do not forsake the assembly of believers. Why? Because he knew every time we come together, we are strengthened in power again. We encourage one another. We remind one another why we are doing what we're doing. And honestly, it doesn't matter what the COVID pandemic has to say and what happens in the day of tomorrow, what lockdown. Come on, we cannot stop gathering as believers. We've got to come together in strength, in faith, in power. This is the most sanitized place you'll find in the whole of Pretoria. There's more sanitizer being sprayed in this place than anywhere else, I believe. Except the factory that makes the sanitizing liquid. You don't get COVID here. Come here to be strengthened, to be empowered, to be encouraged. Don't forsake the assembly of believers. Man, I charge every single one. I charge myself. I make myself accountable to my best friend, my wife. Say, keep me accountable. Every single day when you see I'm losing that boldness, that confidence, say, hey, stand up for what you believe. Let's go into this week. Let's speak to that uncle, that aunt, that neighbor, that colleague and say, hey, man, come on. Now is the time. If there's somebody that you know that needs a change around in their life, tag them into the stream. Share this with them. Say, hey, this oak screen most of the time, but just listen to this message. Because I believe God is calling you forth in this time. God wants to do something incredible in your life. If we would allow Him. Father, I pray for every single person that's here tonight and every single person watching online, even people that'll be watching at a later stage. Jesus, I bless them. I speak over them in this night by the power of your Holy Spirit that there would come a boldness upon every single one of us, a confidence, a courage, a strength, that we would be the voices of our generation. The change, the ones that run into the night with a light in our hands and in our hearts. That we will be the ones whose lives proclaim that kind of a message of celebration, a message of victory, a message of power, yet a message of complete surrender. God, we are the ones that you love. We give ourselves to you in this night again. I pray for every single person that's here, that in this night, God, that we will just all step into that place again where we can say, God, I give you everything. I pray for people tonight that needs to bury something in the water. I'm not talking about baptism. I'm talking if there's stuff in your life that you know is hindering you from living the fullness of God in and through your life. Lay it down tonight, right now. Say, Jesus, I make a decision to bury that. Bury that sin, bury that habit, bury that thought pattern, bury that unforgiveness, bury that anger, bury it. Say, Jesus, I bury it in the water with you tonight. I lay it down. Bury things tonight so that God can live through you. Jesus, I pray that the life-giving power of Christ, your power will come upon us again tonight. Pray for everybody. God, may we be strengthened in this night. Jesus, we give you all the glory and honor and praise. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you that as we celebrate 70 people being baptized tonight, maybe more, thank you that in this night, God, we don't just celebrate their decision, we celebrate your decision for laying down your life so that we can live and live life abundantly. Come on, if you are thankful towards Christ for what He's done, let's give Him some praise together. Come on, can we do that? Yes, Lord.
If you've been impacted by this ministry in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially and help us continue delivering God's word all around the world. Visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.